Blog Talk Radio.
Call your wallet.
Gotta be a little tall enough.
Fashionable fight has drawn the finest people. Where is thy salute?
For presenting yourselves on this battlefield. I give you thanks.
This is our army. To join it, you give homage.
I give homage to Scotland. And if this is your army, why does it go?
We didn't come here to fight for them.
Oh, the English are too many.
I am William Wallace.
William Wallace is 7 feet tall.
Yes, I've heard. Killed men by the hundreds. And if he were here, he'd consume the English with fireballs from his eyes and bolts of lightning from his arms. I am William Wallace. And I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men. And free men you are. What will you do with that freedom? Will you fight?
Right? Against that? No! We will run!
And we will live.
Aye. Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your bed, many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the day from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Everybody, Joseph Gibson podcasting here, understanding the times in which we live today, restoring our republic. Well, everybody's talking revolution, everybody's frustrated, everybody's just frustrated. The political climate is divided, the patriots are frustrated, everyone thinks America, there's no hope, there's just no hope. Everything's just crashing, there's no hope. I mean, this is worse than what it was before the COVID. I mean, I think everybody was scared at that time. They didn't know what to expect. Everybody just didn't know what to expect with COVID. I mean, oh, God, what are we going to do? I think people were just fearful and didn't know how to handle it. But even though those of us out there are a little smart and we did our research and we kind of figured what was going on, what was happening, and we knew the hoax was up, you know, the scam was up. But, you know, but a lot of things happened. These past couple of years, a lot has happened in the last 3 years, a lot in our lives. You know, whether it be our personal lives personally, or whether it be nationally as a country, or whether it be your friends you may know, a lot has happened. You know, I look at my life. I'm not going to go into all personal details, but a lot has happened. You know, I'm in a battle here with the state, ran for public office. My dad passed away. I mean, you know, a lot has happened. A custody dispute. I mean, a lot has happened in my life. And we'll compound that with everything that's going on in the country. You know, Americans have got it tough right now. Everyone thinks we got it so good. There's a lot of stress. They're stressed. Everybody's stressed out. And this is going to compound it here. With, you know, here we go. I'm going to play a little documentary here, not too long. And this is going to depict the division in America right here. I mean, this is it. This pretty much outlines it. And anybody wants to call in, 657-383-0616, and wants to express their opinions, you can do it on screen, uncensored, whatever you want to do. Floor is always open, always open phones here. So, and then maybe we'll do the, I got something else here maybe lined up here that will be pretty good. But, man, you know, we got to come up with solutions. We got to look within ourselves, within our own home, if we're going to fix this.
Marked by the death of George Floyd, a black man who died while being arrested by a white police officer. The demonstrations are the largest seen in decades. Protesters are demanding an end to police brutality and racism.
It's almost like police officers have been able to just do whatever they've been wanting to do.
On the streets, this frustration turns to violence. Buildings are torched and businesses plundered. Right-wing militias like American Wolves take it upon themselves to preserve law and order.
These people that are down there, they're not protesters, they're criminals, and they're actively working to help destabilize our government.
And President Trump keeps fueling the tensions with his rhetoric.
Proud boys, stand back and stand by.
October in Louisville, Kentucky, a city scarred by the pandemic and protests. Windows are boarded up. The clashes that occurred here in recent months have left their mark. The city is still reeling from the death of black medical worker Breonna Taylor, who died while police were searching her home in March. Black Lives Matter activist Keturah Heron wants justice for Breonna. She accuses the police of getting away with murder thanks to the structural racism in the U.S. Breonna Taylor is her hero and the symbol of a movement that will no longer be silenced.
Personally and emotionally, Breonna Taylor's name, for me, it gives me strength. She gives me hope. And she gives me a reason to wake up every day and fight for justice. I mean, I'm 40 years old, and we have seen the injustices of black people in this nation. And, you know, the black woman is the most disrespected woman in America. And so for me, you know, she just gives me that strength to keep fighting.
Breonna Taylor lived here on the outskirts of Louisville. In March, police entered her apartment using a no-knock warrant. This type of search warrant authorizes officers to enter private premises without announcing their presence and forcibly open doors. The police were searching for drugs but found none. An exchange of gunfire ensued, and Breonna Taylor died in a hail of bullets.
You can see from out here that when police officers started shooting, that they shot from outside the home. And so here's one still bullet hole in police evidence tape that was still there. So it shows evidence that they were shooting from outside. And so, you know, it's just very unfortunate. And just the amount of bullets that was reported, over 20 bullets shot that night inside the home.
Police strategist Keturah Heron drafted Breonna's law, which bans the use of no-knock warrants in Louisville. It's now been passed, and she hopes it will soon be adopted throughout Kentucky. She says the roots of police brutality lie in the judicial system and with the police themselves.
There's different policies that are passed at the legislative level, and then you see different police policies or police practices that are done on the ground level. And so I think that it's a combination of all the things, and then also just a combination of no police accountability. Like, no one is really holding the police accountable, and it's almost like police officers have been able to just do whatever they've been wanting to do.
3,000 kilometers to the west, they aim to provide backup to the police. At a secret location in the U.S. state of Washington, members of the American Wolf Militia meet for shooting practice. Their leader, entrepreneur Peter Diaz.
We're suing the Olympia City government right now.
Their weapon of choice, the infamous AK-47, also known as the Kalashnikov. Originally developed for the Soviet Army, Diaz now plans to use the assault rifle to defend America's freedom. Founded American Wolf not long ago. He's financed the militia using more than $100,000 of his own money earned by renting out office furniture. He feels it's his mission to protect America with arms if necessary.
I think it should be important for everybody to be familiar with it, because especially right now, you just don't really know what's going to happen next. The place that we're in, that this country and the world really is in right now, if I would have told you 6 months or a year ago that we were going to be locked down, told where you could travel, told what you can and can't do, who you can and can't hang out with, where you can eat, where you can't eat, the amount of control that's being pushed on us right now, nobody would have ever believed me. So saying something that this may be important in the future isn't as outlandish as one would think.
It's estimated the USA is home to some 180 militias. American Wolf has around 10 active members. Many are former soldiers and, like Peter Diaz, subscribe to conspiracy theories.
Happening right now is our government is in the midst of a coup. There's certain members of our government who are actively working to change this government from what it's designed to be, the land of opportunity. They're trying to turn us into some sort of socialist government, a new form of government, humanitarianism. I don't know who or why exactly, but it really doesn't matter who or why. All that matters is it doesn't happen.
Cynthia Miller Idris is all too familiar with these kinds of theories. She heads the Polarization and Extremism Research and Innovation Lab at the American University in Washington, D.C. And she warns that militias are among those profiting most from the current political climate.
All the militia groups, and in fact, I would say all extremist groups, essentially are defined by, most centrally, by a sense of threat, a sense of existential threat, a dire threat, a feeling that my people, whether that's a race or a gender or a nation, are at threat because of this other group, and that I'm morally compelled to act against them. And so that takes heroic, warrior-like action.
Keturah Haran's whole life has been shaped by structural racism. She says she's never broken the law, yet she's been arrested several times. From an early age, her parents made her aware that the police could pose a very real threat. The fear of being stopped by the cops follows her wherever she goes.
It's always been a situation where you're told whenever you interact with the police, you know, you... back then, you know, when I grew up, it was say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, do everything that they ask you to do. And now that has kind of shifted to where it's make sure that your hands are being seen, keep your hands on the steering wheel. If you're going to pull something out of your glove box, like your insurance or registration, make sure you're telling them exactly what you're doing at every single moment.
For years, Keturah Haran had been thinking of buying a handgun. The protests in recent months have finally made up her mind.
So if you take the mag out, just hit that button right there. There you go. And then slide this one in there. You'll be able to feel the difference. Just slide it. Turn it this way.
Oh, this one.
There you go. And just punch it in there. Now put it in your hand.
Mm.
To feel better?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because of this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A lot of folks, when they get smaller guns and they grip it, they don't like for their pinky to float.
So what I was able to get was a 9mm. Very small. I really liked it because it fits in my hand. I really liked the grip on it. And so for me, it was, I was looking for something that is lightweight. And something that I could fit, that could, you know, I could have on me and conceal, and it wasn't very heavy. And so it's perfect. And so now I just need to get to a gun range.
Yet it's not fear of the police that's convinced her to get a gun. She says it's the armed militias who are turning up at protests more and more often.
I mean, it's scary, obviously, and you never know what's going to happen when you're out. And I think that it's important if folks can arm themselves for that extra protection, that they do so. I don't go out by myself now, and so I'm usually with at least one or two other people. And so if there's a case where I need to be out alone, then this is something that I can take with me to feel secure.
15 minutes, that's all the time it takes to buy a gun in Kentucky. And saleswoman Tanae Deaton says she's never sold as many firearms as she has in recent months. She thinks it's right that more and more civilians are taking matters into their own hands, especially in times like these.
I think it's nice that people are willing to do something like that, but I fear for them, you know, because they don't have the training that some of the police officers may have, or it scares me. So it's nice to know that there's people out there that are willing to risk their lives for something like that that doesn't necessarily belong to them.
The militia American Wolf, en route to what they call their next mission, their destination, Portland, Oregon. Peter Diaz wants to see the Black Lives Matter protests there for himself. Still, he's already convinced they're violent, though he's never actually been there. His pistol is always within reach to use in self-defense, he says.
These people that are down there, they're not protesters, they're criminals, and they're actively working to help destabilize our government to destroy our way of life. That's what we're up against right now. Going down in full riot gear and throwing rocks or breaking windows and looting shops, how does that have anything to do whatsoever with racial equality? They use the BLM movement simply to keep public support.
For months, activists have been taking to the streets of Portland. Deaths have resulted from the clashes between left and right-wing demonstrators. At the height of the conflict, Donald Trump sent anonymous federal agents into the city in a bid to present himself as the law and order president. The demonstrators view the presence of the right-wing militia as a provocation and start chanting their discontent. Peter Diaz and his men soon find themselves surrounded by Black Lives Matter activists. This man even threatens the militiaman with physical violence. Despite the crush of people, none of Diaz's men are wearing masks. The mood grows increasingly tense.
They were walking around as a group of people, into a group of people, surrounded by a group of people, while not wearing face coverings, despite that being the law, understandably so, because we're in the middle of a pandemic. Like, we're all wearing masks. Right?
I believe, like, some of it has to do with our president. He has let that kind of behavior and that ideology just flourish. And I think that now they think that they have power when they don't.
We're out here for Black Lives Matter. And they're out here for white supremacy. So there's a clear you know, there's a clear difference of opinion, and their opinion is not welcome here. It's actually not welcome anywhere.
Diaz insists his group doesn't stand for white supremacy, yet it doesn't take long for a fight to break out. He accuses a protester of taking drugs.
She's not on drugs. That's my friend. Don't start that. She's far from drugs. So don't come out here with that. That's that typical white that y'all say about black people. On drugs. So don't start that. 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 I heard everything you said because I've been standing.
My opinion, when it gets to this type of mob mentality, it should be dispersed. That's where I stand with it. The police hanging back, I understand that they're worried about the numbers growing, but I would handle the situation differently if I had the manpower and equipment.
On this night, the police keep hanging back. Eventually, Peter Diaz and his men are forced to retreat by Black Lives Matter demonstrators.
I think we have been witnessing a polarization of society and now much more a radicalization of society, particularly among young people. And now we're also seeing that, I think, people taking to the streets, which in peaceful protest makes perfect sense. But when you combine that with gun sales and with people feeling extraordinarily anxious, both about the rise of these militias and the violence that they're seeing and accelerating plots and violence, and we're seeing, you know, just increasing media coverage of them in the streets and uncertainty about what's happening next, an unknown danger with the virus or how things are going to play out, I think we're in a really, it's sort of a tinderbox situation.
Kenosha, Wisconsin, in late August. After African-American Jacob Blake was shot by police, protesters set buildings on fire once again.
All right, there you go. You have it. If you listen to that, there you can see the protesters there, the BLM. Pure criminals. I say it again, pure criminals, anti-American. First thing that comes out of their mouth, that idiot, the white kid there, complete backwards idiot, doesn't know who the hell he is. We're not wearing, you know, we should be wearing masks. It's the law. And so he doesn't even know what the law is and doesn't know what the Constitution is. Then he says white supremacy, and clearly they're not white supremacists. So they label that. That's the first thing they run to. It's typical. We hear it on this podcast show. We hear it on other podcast shows. This is the norm today. This is the crap that we have to deal with. And this is the anti-American sentiment out there. It's disgusting. And then the militia guys were right. This is a mob. That's a mob mentality. That's mob rule and law and order. Peace needed to be, should be restored to those types of areas when they were protesting and when they do protest. You don't have the right to burn down businesses. You don't have the right to have a mob rule. You don't have the right to take over streets, block traffic. You have no right to do that and interfere with other people and their rights. You are the supremacist. You are the communist. You are the criminals. And anyone out there who wants to stick up for these Black Lives Matters people, again, I always challenge them, Antifa, any of them. You want to come onto this podcast, but you won't because you can't have a civil discussion. You won't. Your 5 minutes of brain time will always run out after two or three words. You'll automatically revert back to the slavery days and white supremacy and, the, you know, and that's what it always amounts to. And then it gets into a shouting match. And then, of course, you get then the white man gets attacked and he gets belittled and he's the monster of society and this has to be dealt with. And then you hear the news commentator, this is a concern, the militias are on a rise. You know, well, the militias have never been on a rise. The militias have always been there. The American people are the militia. It is the militia. We, the people, are the militia. Simple as that. Okay? And know your history, understand the facts, understand what pro-American is, understand what the Republic is, understand what the foundations of this country was built upon and what we are made upon. That's the problem. Our foundations have been built of sand lately. And how can the righteous stand on foundations of sand? How can we? How can we? We can't. We can't. We need to wake up. Our youth need to be educated, continuously pounded in their head that not to believe that crap. That is crap right there, what the BLM people were saying. And you heard, did you hear the woman right there? And they're starting to get all wound up and they start going berserk. Their brains pop. their bubble heads pop. And that's what happens. It's that despicable. Despicable. Got one more here about Donald Trump here real quick. Donald Trump, I want to play that one, but let me check the phone boards. Anybody here want to participate here in the conversation? You can. 657-383-0616. All right, I got a couple callers here. I'm not going to make you wait. So let me bring on the 314 first. Go ahead there, 314.
You said he get wound up. You were sounding like a lawnmower. Hey, but, you know, they burned down those stores, and you know what they say. Well, they got insurance that's going to pay for it. Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you know. Yeah, you know,
and
that's
next
okay,
day,
right?
Yeah, the next day they complain about black farmers getting raped and pillaged. Well, the response
yeah.
would be, well, they should have insurance. If their land is being stolen,
there
you want something that's valuable, you need to get insurance on it. So what's the
yeah.
big deal? They got insurance on their farms. And the crops,
yeah.
you know they got insurance on the crops.
Yeah, right. There you go. There you have it. Why, you know, so why do black farmers need the extra hand there, you know? You're absolutely correct. You know, and this is, you know, this is the problem that we have. And we see it exploding more and more in the edginess of the people. I was just on the Sally show there, American Statesman, and you can hear in the voices of the people more and more lately of when we talk about the complaining of the people that, you know, and I'm not putting anybody down about complaining. I'm just saying that, but you can hear the agitation of the people. They just feel like they're desperate and they have no hope. You want to know why? Because they're punching ghosts. They don't know where to go and what to hit at. You're attacking a government. You're pointing fingers. It's us. We got to point the fingers at us. We're the problem. We can take it back. We can restore our republic. It's not that hard if we all came together. You know, and did it, but we're not going to. It has to be done through a minority, and that makes it hard. You know, only a few of us are going to have to fight for this republic and restore it, and that's a very hard thing to do. You know, just like the revolution, you know, the 1776, 3%.
Well, yeah, and you got to have solutions. This talking over and over about things and then leaving it for the next discussion is crazy. So,
yeah. Yeah.
It's not no one thing that will settle or that can be deployed. It takes a multitude of things that needs to be deployed in order to achieve what it is that you got. But, you know, I'm just waiting
exactly.
for one state. I'm waiting for one state to tell the federal government to go pound sand, tell the Supreme Court to go pound sand. That's all you need.
Well,
one.
You know.
But anyway,
well, you know, they did it. They did it. BLM, remember they had their cities. They had Seattle, Portland. I just did a thing on Portland. The whole city was cordoned off with BLM. I mean, they took over the whole city there for a while. And they still do, I think. I think they still got control over some sections of Seattle, you know.
Mm.
So why can't we do that, right?
Do it for the right reason, too.
Exactly.
But anyway, go
exactly.
ahead and get to your show. I'll
yeah,
back
we got some
listen.
Private callers here. We got some private callers. Let's bring them on and see what we got here. Private caller, go ahead.
Well, Joe, this is Brother Warren, host of New Orleans Wake Up, and tonight I'm a coon hound, no pun intended, and I'm going to treat some coons tonight. But
yeah, coon
I want to
huh?
tell you, I stand with the Black Lives Matter movement because I understand the sentiment of black people and the relationship with police. Now, the Black Lives Matter.
And what is their sentiment? What is their sentiment?
Let me finish my statement. The Black Lives Matter organization, the International Black Lives Organization, I've been skeptical of that and the females that started that. But for the grassroots people who took that slogan, Black Lives Matter, which we've always did say, it just became coined as a slogan and became popular, I stand in solidarity with that. And I represent the attitudes of well over 90% of African Americans as it relates to that. I'm very confident of that.
Why, and what is that now? What is that sentiment, and what are you representing?
Because American blacks have had a hostile relationship with police. We've been overly policed. We've been abused. We've been victims of extrajudicial killings. That's very well documented.
Oh, wait, really? And whites have not?
Whites have not what?
been abused or have had their run-ins with the police also?
If they have, there should be a solidarity with black people in their anger against police brutality.
Well, it's not if they have, Mr. Warren. It's not if they have. The fact of the matter is that more white people have been gunned down and shot by police than African-Americans.
But the white people support the police. So we don't support the police being gunned down.
Of course
we
support
the police for gunning us down.
Of course, we support our police department.
You don't have a problem with being gunned down. We have a problem with
being gunned down by the police. You're misinterpreting it. See, this is where we're going to have a problem. You see, I support the police because we have to have a police department. We have to have law and order. We have to have peace officers out there. It's a part of society. We have to have that.
But what we are saying is that they have been and are corrupt police who get away literally with murder.
You're absolutely right, but it has nothing to do with race.
So therefore, we're going to speak out against it. We're going to be vocal about it. We're not going to be victims like you say you guys are and then come out and say, we support you for shooting us down.
No, you're twisting my words. I don't say we support you for shooting us down. I support the police for what they are as an organization because they're out there defending the Constitution, protecting our society. I want them out there. But the corrupt
ones, I'm against the corruption. But you see, the issue with putting pressure on police departments is to make them follow the Constitution. That's the whole complaint. That many police departments throughout America misuse and abuse their power.
Correct.
Now that's either true or it's false.
No, the way you're saying it, and you're misapplying it the wrong way, I mean, you're applying it the wrong way, okay? They do abuse their power, but you're saying they abuse their power only against blacks, and the blacks are systematically
targeted. No, that's not what we're saying. We're speaking out because we're victims of it. Now, if you're victims of it,
well,
too,
why can't you speak out for us, too?
To speak out. Pardon?
Why can't you speak out for us, too?
Because you have more clout and visibility than we have.
That's not true.
The majority of police officers are white. Okay?
We live in a white dominated country. We have a majority of the population.
But the point is black people who've been underrepresented in many areas are speaking out for an issue that they face in their neighborhoods and communities.
I don't believe that.
If you as a white person, a victim of police brutality, it is your responsibility to speak out against it and not go on the police side and condemn black people. That's hypocrisy.
I thought it was an American. See, this is where you're wrong. This is where the divide comes. It's an American responsibility to stand up against it. It's not a black responsibility. It's not a white responsibility.
It's the black people who are the ones standing up against it. And most of the people who condemn them are the white people.
Well, Mr. Warren, I hate to break it to you, but a majority of those crowds that are in BLM, they're white.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, Joe, you know, you talk about standard for tough policing. The blacks in Ferguson, which Ferguson was about 67% black, they wanted tough policing.
Yeah.
And after the riots and that, and after you had this influx that was coming out of the city in those areas that they fled from decades ago, those blacks that were decent, had good property values, good schools, they fled too.
Yeah.
Because they want tough police. They want kick-ass policing. When you got criminals like what they was witnessing and the type of experiencing that they were having, they want kick-butt police. And
but you know what,
you
Beyonce,
had...
I don't want kick butt police. I want police that are going to obey the Constitution, and I want the community to support that, and I want them to support the police department, and that's how it should be. I don't want them to be tough on anything. I want them to do their jobs and do it the right way. You know what I mean? Because getting tough on crime doesn't work. Locking people away forever doesn't work. You know, building more prisons doesn't work. You know what I mean? But defunding the police is clearly absurd and asinine too. You know, so we're smart enough to figure this out. But we can't tell
whatever,
brother.
Whatever the
Joe,
people,
whatever
Joe, the people
Joe,
in those communities
most,
want.
Joe, that was the
hang
most.
Hang on. One person at a time, please. I got another call.
Joe, that was,
person,
the whatever, that was the most admirable thing. Everything you said, I agree with you 100%. That was the most calm, sane, cool, collective, well-thought-out position. You don't talk on crime, locking people up. That ain't the answer. You said you want police to follow the Constitution. I'm all with you. And I think that is, you get the award for the day for speaking the most sense. I agree with you 100% on that.
Well, that's
but
good.
But see, here's the thing, Joe. Here's the thing. Those people in those communities, that's their police department, and they the ones that have to face the liability. The federal government and the White House can't come into those departments, those areas, and tell the police to do jack. That police department belongs to the people of that community, allowed to be so by the state constitution. And
that's what
they want. Because what they experience, all that other stuff don't work. You got to meet fire with fire. You got to meet ignorance and act ignorant with them. But anyway,
well, let me bring on another caller here. Private caller, go ahead.
Yeah, Joe, look, man, let's face it, man. Look, the plight of black people and their relationship to the criminal justice system, let's face it, look, this is the bottom line, is nothing more than a stalking horse for the aggressive Marxist left to reimagine policing, and the commensurate rise of anarcho tyranny is a witness to the results of their policies. We are seeing it right in front of us. We don't have to guess. This reimagines the death of St. George of fentanyl. We are able to witness the results of their policies. We don't have to guess.
It's not theoretical anymore.
But wait a minute. Here's the thing now. If you look at what they did to the McCluskeys in St. Louis and what they did they're doing right now to Daniel Penny in New York, what they did to Mr. Perry down there in Texas, what they did to Jose Alba, the bodega owner in New York, they imposed this state of tyranny on us, anarcho-tyranny, by creating the conditions by which people defend themselves against the conditions that they create. I'm talking about these progressive Marxist leftists in all these big cities. They do this. We defend ourselves against it. They put us in jail.
But
we are witnessing it. It's not like we are
witnessing it. You're right.
But
there's
more than that, though. There's more than that, Joe. And part of this, when you hear this, white officers, there's all these white officers, and they're oppressing, and they're subjugating, and they're shooting us down, and they're genociding us. But it presupposes that a white police officer is incapable of applying the law objectively. That's what it presupposes.
That is what they're hanging their hat on. They are white officers
by their inherent. It is one of the most racist and bigoted things you can say about anybody when you say they are inherently incapable of applying law objectively. And
I don't think in America it's ever going to be better. I think if you ever have a white officer,
they want to ignore the wildly disproportionate rate. Of violent crime in the black community, most of it perpetrated against other black people, and this dystopian nightmare is getting worse. Juneteenth was little more than an opportunity for something like 40 black people nationwide doing Juneteenth celebrations to get plugged, shot dead.
Thank you, Joe. These people wanted to continue, so they can reimagine policing and destroy us.
I agree, Sarge. Hang on a second. Warren wants to make a point to what you were saying. Go ahead.
Joe, did you read my comments in the chat room?
No, I haven't had a chance to yet.
When the piece was playing, I said, interesting piece, Joe. I am listening. Then I said, you see, Joe, my perspective on things is reflective of about 90% of African Americans. My views represent the average black. That's why I can come into your forum and others like yours to get an up-close look at your views that represent 90% of white folks. This is how we learn, not from fringe outliers of either of our respective racial and ethnic groups. White liberals are no more representative of white folks any more than black conservatives reflect the thinking of the majority of black folks. And as I have warned before, Joe, this is what I wrote, beware of some of these so-called black conservatives that roam around here on Blog Talk. Most of them are shady characters with shaky paths. Many of them run in and out of black nationalist circles here on Blog Talk. And I'm saying beware. Many of these so-called black conservatives might be in the employ of the FBI. I am on their trail. I am on their trail like a coonhound about to tree a coon. And Joe, especially be aware of those so-called black conservatives that have African names.
Okay.
Let me tell you one thing
I don't do, Joe. When I decide what is right or wrong for me to believe, I don't take a poll. I wouldn't give a damn 100% of white people and 98% of black people against what I believe. I am going to make that decision based upon my lights and my education, my experience, and my understanding. I am not going to take a poll. I don't care if 90% of black people disagree with me or if 100% of white people disagree with me. I am going to do it on the basis of what I believe is objectively right or wrong. So if you think the truth is a popularity contest, then you're in the wrong business because you don't want to educate and you want to tell people what's really going on. You want to impose an agenda. The truth is objective.
Right.
It is not dependent upon how many people of a particular race believe it or not.
Well, you see, that's what I'm worried about, Mr. Warren, is that I don't want to make my decisions based upon racial lines. I don't want to say, you know, I don't want to I'm worried. I'm not looking for a race war, and I don't want to play out scenarios as if a race war was going to happen, you know, because that's dangerous. That's rhetoric that shouldn't be played out because that's not what the Constitution calls for. The Constitution calls that all of us will be sitting in that foxhole fighting against tyranny. And that tyranny could be black, that tyranny could be white, that tyranny could be Puerto Rican. It doesn't matter. It's just wherever that tyranny is, that's what we have to stand up against, even if it is Jewish, whatever it is. You know, and that's what – but see, as soon as I say Jewish, now I'm a neo-Nazi. If I say black, I'm a Ku Klux Klan member. You know, this is the problem in America. We're not looking at the truth behind everything, and that's not right.
Well,
Joe,
if that's the problem, why do you try to make friends with those people? Leave them the hell alone. You can't make friends with them.
But Joe, do you realize that the very idea behind critical race theory as a legal theory literally says, because I've got the books right in front of me, I got three books written by the seminal founders of critical race theory. I've read them, and it literally says that to apply the law as it exists objectively to black people is to further systemic institutionalized racism. Black people need to have a separate tier of law to apply to their particular circumstances and the historical racial discrimination based against them. It literally says we have to segregate the justice system. This is the way these people think. There is no reconciling this point of view unless you want to turn the country into the United States of Yugoslavia.
And that's what I was going to make a comment too about is that's what I worry about, Warren. You said you represent 90% of the black people, and that 90% is always complaining. No matter what a police officer does, if he's white, he can never do anything right. He shouldn't have pulled the black person over. He shouldn't have shot the black person. They shouldn't have arrested the black person. And if the black person goes to jail, it's automatic racism. That's what I'm worried about, that's what concerns me, or that's what I want to fix. You know, it's not right. We have to look, man. I was a victim of police brutality, but I don't go around saying, you know, oh, it was all black people that beat me up. You know, I accuse the system in my area of being corrupt. Are all police departments corrupt? Is every single sheriff in my county corrupt? No, of course not. But the ones that are, I'm going to call them out for it. And that's how we have to look at things from an objective standpoint.
Joe, black people who are victims of police brutality are also victimized by black police officers, and black people speak out just as forcefully as a white person. And so
why is it a racial thing then?
Because black people are disproportionately singled out for that treatment with impunity. But let me say this also. When I make a statement like I reflect 90%, you want to learn from how the average black think. Don't you find it strange that you have black guys on the line that's sounding just as strong as you are? That sounds like some sort of intelligence trap in operation to me. Why don't you think about that? Who are these black guys coming on my show?
Well, you know, another
speaking stronger than me. Speaking stronger than me. So you might want to ask yourself that, Joe.
What is that? Wanting to represent the views of 90%. Boy, what an ego a person like that must have.
and notice, Joe, as I'm on the trail.
I represent only myself.
As I'm on the trail,
I represent
Joe,
no one
notice,
else. Because I don't
Joe,
think it's
notice,
possible for me to attempt
Joe,
to speak for anyone but myself.
Joe.
You know I'm right.
You know I'm right, and you know I'm on the trail when they start making noise.
I don't think Sarge or Pionk or FBI working for the FBI.
That's how you get
to,
trapped.
Bring,
that's how you get trapped. That's how the January 6th people, some of them got trapped.
This guy just got through the authorities on me. Who
how
did
you
go through for an internet threat? The FBI. You just got through doing it.
Hey, Joe, let me tell you something else that those people done. Let me tell you what else those people done that left Ferguson. And I've said this several times, but I'm going to add a couple more areas in. A lot of them moved across the Missouri River into St. Charles County. In St. Charles County, hay is about 90% white. And the police departments in St. Peter's, Wentzville, Mexico, and other areas where these people are moving, there are 100% of the police officers are white. You go out into Maryland Heights, that's a white community.
Yeah.
That's west, way west of St. Louis. And the police department is configured the same way. When African immigrants move in,
I don't like the corrupt police department at all, period.
When African immigrants move into that area, they move and live up in Belleville, Illinois, of all places. They don't have no problem. So, and you know, you talk about police officers. Hell, the young black police officers that joined the force in St. Louis, hey, you know, had about 3 or 4 or 5 of them shot and killed by other blacks.
Yeah, yeah. And well, he did point out that black sergeant was espousing
a point of view. This means that you are in league with FBI snitches and informants. So in other words, if you have a point of view that perhaps contradicts another point of view, you have to beware of the fact that you yourself might be an FBI informant. This is astounding. This is absolutely astounding. Like I said, the left, the progressive Marxist left, is nothing but censorious. It is the only way they have a possibility and a chance of prevailing because their viewpoint cannot stand up to scrutiny. It never does. When they are losing the argument, they have a familiar habit of referring to personal destruction. The practice of personal destruction is part and parcel of what they do, which is why they tend to kill each other so much. Whether you talk about the Bolsheviks, whether you talk about the Maoists, whether you talk about the Cuban Revolution, it doesn't matter. They knock each other off because they can't even trust each other.
Yeah.
I'm telling
Joe, can I respond?
Hang on, everybody. Time out. Let me do this Trump one real quick. I got something here on Trump, so it'll take a couple minutes for Trump because this is about Trump and the voters building a new state and whatnot. So this is interesting because I think this was talked about on the last podcast. I think that's what this one is. It's very interesting. I think actually, Pianca, you just brought it up, actually. So this might be it here. So hang on. Let me play this one here. This is what you were just talking about.
Government in California, the direction was going. It was becoming more and more of a nanny state. At the time, the Republicans and Democrats in Sacramento, the capital, were fairly balanced. That began to change, and eventually it got to the point the Republicans were sort of the party of no. You know, the Democrats would propose something. They had enough Republicans to stop it, and then that went away, and the Republicans show up. They get paid for doing nothing because they can't get anything done. That was pretty much a death knell as far as we are concerned about freedom in California. So we came up here in Labor Day of 10 and looked around. We knew kind of what to expect politically. We said, this is what we need to be. So 3 weeks later, we came back, looked at a few houses, and bought this one. What's interesting is that a number of years ago, Idaho was a blue state, and Kootenai County was a blue county. And then people started getting in here and saying, you know, this is not the way to do it. And there were enough people who came here, got registered to vote, and said, we want to see changes.
So tell me about what happens when the election results were announced.
Oh, well, uproar would be putting it mildly. The people that we hang with are politically astute. We pay attention to what's going on, and the numbers did not add up. And they would already talk about what was going on, and most people said, no, that something's gone on here. So there was a tremendous amount of anger. There still is. People say, well, let it go. No, this is my country. What has happened? Joe Biden and his minions are leading this country down the road to perdition. That's how we look at it. He is there illegally, and I am not ashamed to say that. I will tell that to anybody. What he has done is wrong.
And is there a sense in which some of the recent arrivals post-election see North Idaho as a place to kind of congregate with other conservatives?
There have been plenty of conversations about the potential balkanization of Idaho, and we'll use the Great American Readout as an example. The Great American Readout is Idaho, eastern Washington, eastern Oregon, Montana, and Wyoming. We don't want big government. We want nanny government. We want freedom. And one of the things important is people need to understand that those of us who espouse the belief in the Great American Readout, it's not based on religion. It is based on political thinking, because that's really what's going on here. So we don't care what religion you are, so long as you come in with the thinking that you agree with your compatriots here. And I use compatriot in that very sense of patriotic friends. So that's really what we're talking about, is a community, a very large community, but that's what we want to do.
Good morning, patriots. Welcome, and thank you for tuning in here at the Voice of the American Redoubt.
Radio Free Redoubt is a program that broadcasts across North Idaho and neighboring Washington State. It is hosted by Jack Robertson and his wife, Renee Holiday. It features a mix of readings from the Bible and extreme right-wing takes on political news.
They are not upholding any of our constitutional laws whatsoever because they're communists and they're in a takeover mode. They're sitting in the highest seat in the land, you know, illegitimately, but they're still sitting in that seat.
Yep.
Until we rectify it.
Yeah, we need a revival, I'll tell you that.
One of the people who advertises on the show is Chris Walsh, an estate agent who sells properties to people who want to live off the grid and be prepared for a societal breakdown.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho.
Some of the properties he sells are so remote, he has to fly there in his own plane.
Now, these people were pretty clever. They wanted to have more dwellings. So what they did, you see that red building out there? Mm-hmm. There's that one, and there's another one right over there. And those are skid-mounted houses. Those came from North Dakota and South Dakota, from the oil fields. The vast majority of preppers, to me, are really analogous to a 1968 hippie. And the reason for it is because those folks were looking for freedom, they wanted clean water, and they wanted non-interference. They didn't want to be told what to do. It was an expression of freedom. And that's why you see so many of these people come up here, because they want those freedoms, and a lot of them have just been taken away, you know, where they're at. The bottom line is that, you know, these people come and they like stuff like this because it's so usable. You know, they want to take stuff like this and turn it into pasture. They want to turn it into garden, what have you. It's already done. The stumps are already removed. You know, there's no trees out here. So this has been worked at some point by someone, you know, toward the idea that they wanted to grow a garden, grow food, have animals on it. But you can see that the ground itself just has no rock in it. It has no stumps.
And how important is it to not have the house on the road for people?
It really depends more on area than anything else. So, for example, if you're in a very heavily populated area, say Coeur d'Alene, Post Falls, what have you, where, you know, there's 100,000 people, being up on the road is a much bigger detriment. So if you're up here, you know, Highway 2 is there, and yeah, there's people up here, but there's not 100,000. The vast majority of people that I see, that I speak to, that are coming here out of danger. They're fleeing from places where they're afraid. So, for example, you know, Seattle has real problems downtown. It's just not safe downtown now. You know, I mean, the homeless live on the streets and claim them as their own property. You know, so if you walk down the street, they'll tell you to get the F off their property, and they got no problem with it. So people are in large part right now being driven by their fear. More often than not, you know, either the woman or the man has just looked up and just said, listen, we need to live somewhere where it's safer. Just that simple. And they know all these people that have moved to North Idaho. And they come up here, and once they see it, you know, and they're moving out of the rat race of I-5 in Los Angeles, they fall madly in love with it. You know, so that's what they're really looking for. But in the end, it's really security.
And is the idea of defensibility something that people ask you about when they're looking at properties?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, quite a bit. Yeah, and it's not, you know, there really is no such thing as a perfectly defensible property. But a lot of people are confused over the idea that they can actually defend a home from the home. There is no such thing, okay? As a former military member, I can tell you that the worst place that you ever want to be if you want to defend yourself from me is inside of a house. Don't, because I know where you're at, and you don't know where I'm at, and you never will. So I can come at you from any direction, any time, and you'll know nothing about it, but you're stuck inside. Could get ugly.
It's not just people who want to live off the grid who are being drawn to the American Redoubt. All around Coeur d'Alene, these huge housing developments are being built to cater to one of the fastest rising property markets in the U.S. But do the people moving here know of the area's dark history of white supremacy? Tony Stewart was here when Richard Butler set up the headquarters for his violently racist organization, the Aryan Nations, in 1973.
So this is where the Aryan Nation property was?
This is the entrance to the former Aryan Nations compound, and they had a banner always across announcing that was Aryan Nations.
White supremacist, Butler drew people to his compound who believed as he did, and his supporters held marches through downtown Coeur d'Alene in Klan hoods and Nazi regalia. In 1998, they were preparing for a major event and expecting opposition from the local population. Already on edge, guards at the compound mistook a car backfiring for gunshots and chased local woman Victoria Keenan and her son Jason, shooting their car until it ran off the road. The Keenans were eventually awarded $6.3 million by the court. This forced the Aryan Nations into bankruptcy, and the compound was signed over to the victims.
And then I can, if you'd like, first thing we can do is go from where the shooting started and how far it went. They shot the car five times. One of the bullets missed the gas tank, but just small amounts. One of them weren't killed. And one of the stop signs up here, she didn't stop. She just kept going. She lived north here in the adjoining county. They'd been to a wedding, she and Jason, and we're getting pretty close to where they went off the road. It was right in there. That's where it went in, right there.
So what happened at this point? So they've been being chased from outside the Aryan Nations compound.
For over 2 miles, the car was shot five times. And when they hit a tire, that's what caused it to go in.
Sean Keenan was just a young boy when his aunt and cousin were chased. But he vividly remembers her explaining how violently she was attacked when the guards approached her car after running it off the road.
They approached the vehicle, and they could see that my aunt is Native American. Like, it's pretty obvious she's Native. Like, and without really much conversation, they tried pulling her out of the vehicle by her hair. And when they couldn't get her out of the car that way, they started ramming the butts of their rifles through the window, the open window, and smashing my aunt's teeth out, breaking her ribs on the side. The whole time, my cousin Jason is there in the car, and she instructed him to hide. under the console. She didn't want him to make a peep. She didn't want to hear any breathing. Like, literally, just be silent, because she was certain they were going to die. And she didn't want Jason to die, my cousin. So, but after my aunt is getting... my cousin couldn't take it any longer. Seeing his mom... And he tried to get him to stop. He was screaming at them and yelling at them and saying whatever he could to signal to them to stop. And at the end of the day, he renounced his own heritage and said, "Hey, we believe in your cause, man. Don't kill my mom." You know, what I remember about the Aryan Nations is that they would come to places like this, the park, and they would do recruitment. So if you looked the part, if you were blonde hair, blue-eyed, they would give you a flyer and say, "Hey, we want you." And they would do this regularly. They'd come around and try to do recruitment whenever there was crowds down at the park here and stuff like that. I do remember that. I remember the parades. I remember them, you know, organizing and marching down the streets in Nazi regalia. And I remember the terrorism, the threats.
And I wonder if I can ask you about the American Redoubt.
You have the Redoubters who believe they can create a new state or country in this area. In fact, believe it or not, this readout theory and movement is so strong, they actually passed something in the Idaho legislature this last session that said they wanted to create this greater state of Idaho.
It is just the beginning process of asking Oregon to let Oregon's rural counties go, and asking Idaho, would you allow us to become part of your state? Taxation without representation, unjust laws, overreaching government. Does this sound familiar with America prior to the American Revolution? And where did that end up?
That's how crazy it's gotten here, where they feel like they can create this white utopia state around here. And so you have a lot of... folks who are subscribing to this through, you know, social media channels and newsletters and things like that, you know, read out news or whatever. And you have the Kootenai County Republican Central Committee.
Is there a sense in which the Republican Central Committee, they are in some way preparing the ground for the readout?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they have gone through and cleaned house with their central committee. There isn't any moderates left. They've done the purity test on everybody. And so either you are in lockstep with their ideology or you're not in the club. They're targeting nonpartisan races specifically. Just kind of set the stage, put the fertile soil on the ground for something like this to come to fruition. I mean, at the end of the day, the more people who share their values and in leadership positions can open the doors, and there won't be any resistance left.
Now, what's wrong with that, everybody? What's wrong with that? Now, you see, they've come with the sad story, okay, which obviously, you know, that's horrific. Okay, we're not, you know, there's nothing racist about what they said. Blacks can live there. Native Americans can live in that community. Nothing's racist. This isn't the Aryan. This isn't the Aryan resistance. But yet they have to play a documentary. They got to put a clip in there about a horrible beating and a little baby boy that saw his mother get beat up, and he got the guy with the tears, you know. So they have to now, they have to paint this picture. Now, the Republicans are racist. This is they want to start their own country. How dare them want to be free? How dare they want to be free? You know, and that's wrong. What's wrong with that? And we were just talking about this, and that's what we've been talking about in the last podcast show, is that, look, we're heading for a separatist type of country where people are not. Look, I don't want to live in a city where they have abortion, where they have crime rampant, where they have BLM burning down my store. I don't want to live there. Does that make me racist? Does that make me racist? I don't think it does. I think, you know, come on, man. Well, I mean, you know,
Joe,
what's going on
here? The reason the framers of the Constitution envisioned a federalist system, so you can have separate states that have these separate ethoses and separate laws. We're not supposed to be a one-size-fits-all legislative scheme. We are supposed to have states that have different ways of looking at different social issues that are not circumscribed to them by the Constitution. Everything else, they're supposed to be able to legislate in.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Yeah, you're yeah.
Now,
you
Joe,
know, so,
Joe, could I ask you something, Joe?
Yes.
Yeah, now, was that you told me you were on a show and they hated white people and you got on there and they were so rude to you? Was that you told me that?
Yeah, yeah, I was on the Shabbat.
Do you know you remember the name of that show?
Yeah, what's that, Shabaka's Black Experience or something, Black Panther or something?
Now, did you know two of the guys on the line participate in that show and they have no problem? Did you know that?
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
Did you know these two guys on
the
line
participate
on this show?
We don't get
the show that you said.
We talk about the issues and nothing else. We don't accuse each other of being FBI informants. We don't accuse each other of doing all kind of things.
I want you to know,
Joe. We don't accuse them of being an insane asylum. We talk about the issue. That is why we can have discussions.
The show you said that they hate white people.
He's just
going to
ignore
you,
all that people on the lab.
And
ignore
you,
this
Joe.
Part.
No, these two guys sit comfortably and have conversations on that show.
Red flag, Joe.
Red flag.
Actually, Warren Sarge actually argues with Shabaka on a lot of issues.
Red flag, Joe. Red flag. I'm telling you,
and
Joe.
And we never
flag.
Get personal. Not once I ever gotten personal with him or he with me. We stick to the issue every single time. That's not what you do. That is not what you do. You are a raconteur.
Hey, Sarge, what does Shabaka ask you about me every time you go on his show?
He asked me, and he asked me to ask you to come on. He never talks about you disrespectfully, never. He, in fact, respects you, and he wants
you
to come on
time.
So you can discuss the issue.
Yeah,
now, see,
asks you every time.
That's the difference between Shabaka and this guy.
Yeah.
Well, I've never been on his show neither. Joe, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that show Shabaka is anti-white and then mistreated you?
I don't think Shabaka is. I think his minions in the background were. I think they were prejudiced against white people. They said they were. So,
what I'm saying, I'm not making no judgment on Shabaka because I don't know him. What I'm saying is, beware of some of these characters. Be very careful.
I understand what you're saying, Warren, but sorry,
this
you're beyond there not working undercover. I assure you of that.
This is how many January 6th people got caught up because they had quote-unquote authentic people who talked the way they talk and the whole nine yards and led them into something they got into trouble. Now, I'm telling you, it's very strange that you as a white guy.
But this guy not seem to understand that I don't agree with almost anything Shabaka says, and that is the point of my discussing things with him, because we do not agree on almost anything, but we have intelligent discussions about our disagreement.
Have you noticed every time I start talking, there's interruption? Have you noticed that?
Well, I think you
get
flag,
Joe.
Red
flag, Joe.
You are the most disingenuous human being I have ever heard on this show, and I mean ever.
And I've had some real winners
on what I hear on your show,
I've had
Joe.
Some real winners.
What I hear on your show, Joe Gibson, is you let somebody come on and just take over the show and get off of the point.
What's that? I didn't hear what you said, Bianca. I'm sorry.
I say you let somebody in the form of Mr. Carter come on your show and get you completely off of focus of what your program was supposed to be about.
Yes, yes, I do for let people free will on my show, and I've taken a lot of criticism for that, and but Bianca, you know I don't mute people. I let people come on here and just say what they got to say. You know that. I've done that always throughout the years. I mean, and that's one of the things I've always done. I mean, I got flack on it from letting the Nazis come on here. I've gotten flack from letting Black Panthers come on here. I mean, so, you know, but that's my show. I allow people to come on here and say what they got to say, you know, and that's the name of the game here. That's my show. You know, now, yeah, do we go off topic a lot of times? Yes, we do. It happens a lot of times. But, you know, that's the name. That's the problem. You know, these are the things we're combating, though, Bianchi. We're fighting for the Republic here. And we have to, you know, and the opposite voices that are attacking us or whoever they may be or whatever they're trying to do, this is what we're going to have to deal with on the streets, well, let alone on Blog Talk Radio. You know, we're going to have to deal with this in the public. You know that better than anybody. Come on. You know, so you know, I'm not going to feed into it, though. I'm not going to feed into anybody, whether the guy in the chat room there calling me an FBI informant right now, is he Gavin Moore, whoever he is, you know, with his stupid nonsense. Well, he's a coward. They're punks, and they're cowards. Sarge, you were on here when I got into an argument with the NSM people.
Well, I know how it works, Joe. I mean, we got people out here who do that. I mean, they're not honest. They're disingenuous. What they want to do is not discuss an issue. They want to turn everything into a personality class. Literally, they want to question your motives, they want to question your sanity, they want to question your very background. So they know something
30
about
years
it.
Ago.
That isn't the issue. I mean, that we all know that isn't the issue. We got the four boxes. How many times have we discussed on your show the four boxes? We are using the soapbox in hopes of being able to persuade people to the ballot box. And so it doesn't have to become either the jury box or the cartridge box. That is a point of discussion. To try to reach compromise on things that are not immutably transcendent, where compromise is possible, and to recognize where compromise is impossible. But nonetheless, to try to come to some sort of realization as to what the boundaries and the parameters are. And the only way to do that is to do it in an honest and sincere fashion. The one thing you should not accept is disingenuousness, lying, cynicism, and little made-up fantasies about people they cannot even know. But that's what we regularly get from the left and progressives. They learn from Saul Alinsky, and they learn from the Bolsheviks. And this is what they've done throughout history.
Yeah, now, Mr. Warren, I do have to ask you a question here. Now, when you called in the Liberal Dan show, you came across as a different type of tone now. I mean, you disagreed with
Liberal
him, but
Dan,
you came across.
Liberal Dan calls into my show, so we've had interactions back
and forth. All right. I didn't know that, but I'm just saying that. I didn't know you two knew.
Yeah. But what I wanted to say, too, is, in all sincerity, I do appreciate you and Sally for having me on, and I do want you all to consider and screen, what I mean by screen, often reflect in solitude who some of these people that regularly call in. Now, on Sally's show a while ago, my life was threatened. I was threatened to be bombed and killed.
I heard that, but I don't believe it.
And so nobody should allow anybody on their show to make physical harm threats. I don't allow.
If you think you've been threatened, you should go to the FBI and accuse that person of making internet threats. That's what you should do.
You can listen to all of my shows.
You should go to the FBI with your complaint. And see if
I don't know what happened there, Warren. I don't know what happened there.
No, that's what he ought to do. He ought to make a complaint to the FBI. You can do it.
Yeah.
So,
But I'll be honest with you, though. Hang on. No, all the years I've known Sarge, though, all the years I've known him and Bianchi, they're not criminals, and they're not going to hurt anybody over Blog Talk Radio.
Well,
I can assure you that.
Well, I put it on the record. I let you warn. I warned you about certain people.
Make your criminal complaint to the FBI. That's where you go to do it.
Let me
see if it's a stain. It might be with the Department of
Justice. Hang on, though.
Mr. Warren, are you being honest and sincere here? Are you afraid that just because the comments are made?
Let me explain something.
Well, he probably is. No, I think his fear may be genuine because he's paranoid like most communists are. They're very paranoid.
I want you to let me explain. On the social media, people are able to act out their alter egos. They're actually able to be something that they may want to be but really can't be, number one. Number two, it's an excellent way for infiltration by people who work for intelligence arms by speaking the way people speak. Even on my show, just because somebody called in and agreed with me, I don't...
Time out. Hang on. But if he is working for the FBI, then why would he threaten you? Why would he break the law?
Are you listening to another theme of the mantras? You ask Alexander Solzhenitsyn about putting you in a nut house.
Well, first of all,
this guy's a Marxist going through. He's a communist going hard.
Everything he does is
reminiscent of their tactics.
Let me answer the question.
I'm a psychiatric case that needs to be locked up in a nut house. Just like the gulags are made of Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He's learned his lessons well.
I think, to be honest with you, Mr. Warren, that this agitation between you guys and fighting on the podcast shows, I think, really, though, you asked the question.
But
I want to discuss personality. I want to talk personality. This guy wants to talk personality. Can he learn from Saul Alinsky?
Whether or not he knows who Saul Alinsky is.
He has inculcated all of the lessons. Listen to him and read Saul Alinsky's book, Rules for Radicals.
Yeah, Mr. Warren, with all due respect, just make your final comment about Sergeant. Can we get back to the topic, please?
Notice how disrespectful they are on your show. You have a person that you let talk.
I would be threatened because
I'm on their trail. Okay, I'm exposing them.
All right. Well, let's keep it off the airwaves then. All right, let's do it like that. Can we stick to the topics, man? That's what I really like to do.
He can't do it, but let's see if we can do it. Let's just try.
I don't even know where I was.
Let's see if he's capable, because he doesn't have an argument that could be sustained. That's why he does what he does.
Bianchi brought up the balkanization probably of America, us being, because there's no getting along with the other side. That's clearly being demonstrated right now. I mean, so if this happens, well, actually, it is happening in the Northwest right now. I mean, so what's your thoughts on that? Bianchi, did you know that they were doing that in the Northwest, or Sarge, and then Warren? I mean, did you guys know that they were setting up communities?
Oh, man, have I seen what they've been doing lately? Oh, yes. Look what they're doing up in Canada. They put a man literally in jail when he refused to allow his child to be transitioned from a boy to a girl, and he didn't use the correct pronouns, and they literally invoked a Canadian law that allowed them to put him in jail. They are working on doing the same thing right now in Oregon and Washington. Do you think this thing is not going to continue if we don't stop it and nip it in the bud? Yes, it will. Canada will come here. They will put you in jail for the speech you use.
And call it a hate crime. Yeah, I see. I wouldn't doubt that. What do you think, Bianchi? I mean, did you know? Because you brought this up. That's why I called.
I know about the conversations. I knew about what will probably evolve into an actual attempt.
What do you think about that, though? Do you think that's a good thing?
I like the idea because I told you I'm not compromised. My kids are not going to play with the kids of your other guests. They're not going to play with them, and they didn't play with them.
Well, and that's your choice, right? I mean, that's what America is about. I mean, that's how it should be.
We can make choices for our children, but who knows how long that's going to be. Joe Biden just got through telling us that your children are theirs. He just said it from the White House lawn.
I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy. I mean, Warren, do you support that? You support that, what Biden said? Or what do you think about that?
What did Biden say?
That our children are his.
Well, I mean, many politicians.
Actually, he said that our children are theirs, meaning our children are part of a collective ownership of the society as a whole, more so than the parents. Not in certain specifics, but generally.
children belong to the greater whole rather than the judgment of their parents.
Yeah. Yep, yep. So what do you think about that, Warren? Come on, give me an honest answer now. This is sticking to the issue.
Well, I didn't hear him say it, so I can't make a statement on something I didn't hear anybody say. Now, that's
well, let's
fair,
pretend
that's a
he
fair
did,
response.
You did know he say it. Let's pretend you did hear him say it. Would you support
no,
that?
I can't, no, I can't be coached into something that I was not aware of what is actually said. Let's be accurate.
All right. Does anyone got a recording of this? Because I'd like to play it back for him right now. Then he can hear it.
Yeah, I got a recording of it. I'll get it for you in just a second.
All right. I was gonna, then he can hear it for himself. There you go. You know, I mean, because, you know, I mean, we always deal in hypotheticals. Warren, you always play in hypotheticals because you deal with, you reflect back on slavery all the time. And you know,
how is reflecting on slavery a hypothetical?
Because you'll use hypotheticals saying that today you're affected by what happened yesterday.
How is that a hypothetical?
Because it is, because in reality you're not affected by what happened 200 years ago.
It
has no bearing on your life.
Are you surely qualified to say what a person and what they're affected by?
I would say logically, 200 years ago does not affect you today, well, Mr. Warren. It can't. It just can't. How could it?
When people are saying there are vestiges that are unfinished business, that's why we're still having this discussion of racism in the United States, because there's
unfinished business that
was initiated over 200 years ago.
We'll always have this discussion. It will never go away.
Joe, you ready to hear what Joe Biden said?
Yeah, I
want to
hear it. Go ahead.
Okay, here we go. You listen to Joe Biden himself. Out of the horse's ass mouth. Here we go. I have a question, so you can hear it. Let me show you. Here we go. 42 seconds.
Biden want horse's ass.
Put a teacher's creed into words when she said, there's no such thing as someone else's child. No such thing as someone else's child. Our nation's children are all our children. And now, the very important thing I told my daughter.
There you go.
No serious guys in the 30s.
Joe Biden means it. Hillary Clinton said it first. It takes a village to raise a child. This guy is expanding upon it in every one of his official actions and edicts. At least the people that surround him are pulling his strings.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what's worse
than
that, the NAACP is the gatekeeper for all black America, which is just not true. I've been around American black. They don't be talking about no racism. They be talking about the issue at hand, the agenda. What was the meeting called for? They don't be talking about no racism. Same as when I'm around white. They don't be talking about that stuff. It's only a few that have an inner, NF, DNA-inspired problem that's just eating them up on the inside.
I gotta wonder about that, because I gotta agree with. I mean, it's just why is that eating up? I mean, why not let it go? We've had a black president. We've had times have changed. Clearly, everyone has a clearer look. I was at a job interview today. There was two black people in the lobby, and I was one white guy, me. Okay, guess what? I didn't get the job. What do I do now? We're not racist. Coming out. That's it. I didn't get it for whatever reason. That's it. I mean, so what do we? So does that sound like today that slavery still exists and the black man is put down no matter what? And guess what? The person doing the hiring was a black woman. Oh boy. So I was definitely discriminated against, wasn't I? Come on. I didn't think twice about it when I walked out of there. No big deal. That's all. I mean, so this is the problem we're having. I mean, why can't we get over this crap? I mean, it's just nonsense.
But Joe, be honest. You have guys on your show that would say that was racism against them. And since I've been calling in on your show, there are a couple of guys who say that all the time. So what's your point? Because many whites would say that's racism, what you experience.
I have guys on my show that would say that.
Yeah, okay.
You're right. Maybe I would. But that's America, man.
It's not the norm. It's not the practice of everyday America. It's not the policy of America anymore. It's not.
The data, Joe, proves otherwise. The data on many aspects of hiring, employment, it disproves what you say, Joe. Just because you want it to be that way in your heart doesn't mean it's so.
No, it is so. I see it firsthand. Reality. Or is it different in some places?
Joe, I believe he's referring to the notion of equity, which is a Marxist concept. And then if you have equal outcomes, not equal opportunity, or equally applied standards to all persons applying for a job, you're supposed to have outcomes that reflect equity.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I just don't, you know, again, are there problems in America? Are there people that believe in extreme ways? Is there, look, man, you know, it's like that with all different sides of the, you know, so what do we do? How do we solve the problem, Warren? What do you want to do? You want to have a race war? I mean, do you think that's going to solve it? You'll get slaughtered, number one, because, you know, I mean, not because we're better, not because anything else, but because we outnumber you. 2-1, 3-1, 10-1, maybe.
But guess what, Joe? Joe, guess what? You might be right, but guess what? I'm going to be on black people's side. You're going to be on white people's side, Joe.
Wait a minute,
Joe. When you look around, you're going to see people like me fighting right alongside us.
Exactly. You're going to fight for the right side, not the
left. I'm fighting for the U.S.
Constitution.
People like them, Joe, are going to be very true to violence
directed at someone on the basis of their race.
That's right. I'm going to fight for the freedom, law, and order, peace. That's what I'm going to fight for, the Constitution, the Republic.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to fight for, okay? And if anyone has got a problem with that, too bad. That's what I'm going to fight for. And if they don't like it, now, do I agree with some ads? Now, look, I've been on the NSM website, and I've been on their podcast show, and I'll say this openly. Some of the National Socialist platform policies as a government, an institutional way, some of them I kind of like the way Germany pulled out of their economy and how they pulled out of poverty and how they were a great flourishing superpower in Europe. Their policies made them that way. Yes. Am I saying all of it? Am I saying, yeah, I want to lock people up in camps? And no. But there's just certain aspects of that government that I think coincides with the Constitutional Republic. Excuse me, if it's done the right way. I just think that the work ethic mode of National Socialism is a good idea because it eliminates the capitalism, imperialistic type of view, and it doesn't reward laziness. And I don't like that in our republic. I don't like that because it does leave the door open for laziness. So what do you think, Mr. Warren? I'll give you a first crack at that.
Well, you know,
who did you ask to speak, Joe? Who did you ask, me or some other character?
Well, you,
out there?
Mr. Warren.
Okay, because
you, Mr. Warren,
reason,
you first. I'll give you the first.
I'm hearing some woman voice chime in for some reason. But,
all right, come on, man.
As it relates to the point that I'm trying to get you to understand, if you really want to understand the things you say you don't understand, you need to talk to more people like me, not get an echo chamber or choir to back up what you're saying. Because then, at that point, you're just getting your ego stroked. You're not really engaging with the heart of America. So you need to have more people like me to interface with.
But your views, Mr. Warren, is not
welcome
the heart
from
of America.
The guy who has condemned me from his show. Good job trying to convince him with that.
And Mr. Warren, you know, I called into your show the other night, and you didn't even take my call.
Look, this is the way I conduct my shows. I get the information across first.
And you said Sarge is welcome to call in. I remember that. You were feeding me a bunch of crap.
But then I had a lot
And not only that, when I first started calling into the show, we had very civil discussions. He was very civil and very well-behaved. He did not engage in personal attacks, and we discussed the issue. When his fangs came out, when he knew he could not persuade me to his point of view, that's when he started becoming vicious.
Now, why is that now? Just not to revert back to the personality thing conflict here, but I noticed that, though, well, Mr. Warren, when you conduct your show that way. Now, if you're conducting your show, now that's not right. Excuse me, man, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why that's not the right way.
Go ahead. Yo, let me explain something. Out of the 200 and some episodes, not one person is called in talking against white people, condemning white people. There's no profanity unless I'm doing a monologue. There's no profanity. There's no disrespectful behavior. I don't tolerate that on my shows, as some of you guys rely on your shows, but that's your right because it's your shows. But my shows are highly professionally done. I have experts from different fields. They are very impressed. They leave very I have people that I invite that I don't know. They're unsure what they're going to get into. By the time the show is finished, they are so content with what they've gone through. So I have a professional product that I put out there. Sally heard my show on China. Sally was too intimidated to call in because she couldn't challenge this expert on China. So she
I don't buy that for a second, which is fine.
But have high professional shows because these two guys follow my shows and listen to my shows.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with that.
You forbid me to be there, and I'm going to take your word for it. I don't go where I'm not wanted. But anytime you're ready to engage me, pal, the offer stands. Any time. And that includes on China.
Yeah, yeah. He has offered you to a fair debate, but I don't think Sally would be too intimidated to call into your show. But one thing, though, Mr. Warren, is this. So check this out, though. I'm sure nobody minds you calling into their shows, but you kind of did ignite the arguments between you and Sarge and Bianchi by calling them names quite a few times. You did start it, though. You know, you kind of did. And they just wanted to debate you, and you kind of provoked them into a because they were siding with conservatives, and you called them kind of like a Uncle Tom, and you know they're not black, they're really white. You did say that, man. And
blacks don't support dogs, that sort of thing.
Yeah. You know, I mean that's not right. I mean I'm just being honest and upfront. And you put us as hosts, like Sally and Lori and everybody, in an awkward position. You know, because we don't want to ban you from the show. I'm not about that. But, you know, I mean, and we wouldn't. I'm not going to, at least I can't speak for Sally's show. She runs it her own way. But, you know, my show, I don't ban people. But still, it kind of, you know, Sarge is a constant guest on my show. He's been for years and years, Bianchi, too. And it puts me in an awkward position because I don't want them to feel uncomfortable now. You know what I mean? I don't want you guys.
We always engage opposing points of view. Never stoop to engaging in personal attacks, no matter what the other party says, ever. We engage the issue on its terms. We listen to what is said, and invariably, each and every time, we respond to the point that is being made. We do not ever engage in a personal attack unless, of course, it is offered to us. And then when we respond viciously, because I believe in a counterattack the minute you have the opportunity to.
I disagree with Sarge over the years.
The reason why come I wouldn't go on there because I could not be hypocritical attending something that I wouldn't allow my kids to be around. They would be asking questions. So I don't. See, you're supposed to live out your conviction. You don't want to associate with them. No, and I respect them, but I don't want them around me. Don't want to be around them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Believe me, I ain't coming. I ain't coming in the chat room. I ain't going through the show. But right now he's on your show, Joe, and he's saying things. He's saying things that I believe need to be rebutted. And as long as you allow me to, Joe, I intend to rebut them. But you notice, I rebut them. Whether he agrees with me or whether I agree with him, I specifically listen to his argument, and I respond to it directly. Every every single time. He doesn't.
Yeah. And Mr. Warren, you're not the first one to criticize Sarge and stuff. I've had a couple female. I remember last year a woman was calling him out and calling him names on my show, not racial names, but she was saying, yeah, you're a loudmouth. You always talk over people. I disagree with you. I remember that. So you're not the first one to say that. And it didn't turn into an explosion, where it was, one goes after the other. So, I mean, look, man, I'm just saying, I'm not trying to be a peacemaker. You guys are grown men. You can handle your own thing, you know what I mean? But, I'm just saying that everyone is welcome on my show. I just don't want to make my, Sergeant Bianca feel uncomfortable now that they got to be careful because, you're going to press charges on them or, not. Come on. That's crazy.
Well, wait a minute, Joe. Actually, I welcome the opportunity for an opposing viewpoint. So that's what I love. I love the interchange of ideas because I believe my ideas in the main are superior to the ideas of the progressive Marxists. I think they are infinitely better than. Because I think they're the culmination of millennia of thought and political actions. That's why I think they are better. That's why I want to test them against what they believe. The problem with them is that they know their ideas cannot stand up to scrutiny, which is why they are so censorious. That is the reason for it.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. I like the opposite viewpoint a lot, too. You're absolutely right, Sarge, because how many times we've asked, hey, where are the liberals at? Call into the show, or where's this side at? Why don't they call into the show? Why don't we get the other side's viewpoint? So, yeah, man,
You always do it, Joe. You always do it because you're looking for it. You want to test ideas against each other. That is the only way really to get to the truth.
Exactly. Thank you very much. That's the key right there. Well, we got way off subject there, so how about closing thoughts then? Can we do that again?
Let me say this, Joe, may I say something, Joe?
Yeah, go ahead.
You may not realize it now, but I'm your best friend. Because one thing can be said about Brother Warren. He has his own show. And I can conduct myself with my viewpoints. I'm not a freeloader on nobody else's show. Yeah, I call in your show and others and listen and participate, but I got my own show that's staying on its own 2 feet that has listeners that attract people, okay? So that's one thing you need to understand about me, that I put up, okay? And if others are all this intellectual to be able to debate somebody, where's their show? Where's their ability to open up a blog talk count and carry on? They can't. They're not capable. They're not creative.
All right.
Okay.
Right.
So they find a home.
Hang on for a
second. Yeah, I like that.
Hey,
Sarge.
They
find a home on other people's show.
Yeah, that's great.
Hey, Sarge, have we not contributed to somebody's show to keep it on there?
These kind of shows rely on callers, in case you haven't noticed.
Minute.
And by the way, I have had my own blog talk show, which was rather successful if you look at the listens. I decided to quit it because I had to do something else, and I never restarted another one. But now that you mention it, I just might do that again. I think I'll be more successful this time.
No, but wait a minute. I have contributed cash money through PayPal, Zelle, through other people's show, and two of them, yourself.
There you go.
It takes, the host of the show is not the whole. Tucker Carlson isn't the whole Tucker Carlson show. He relies on producers. He relies on assistants. And he relies most of all on his audience. They're all part of the show.
These turkeys sound
Mr.
like
Warren, go ahead.
School kids on the playground. These turkeys sound like school kids on the playground bragging about who got the most marbles. Brother Warren has a show, New Orleans Wake Up. The whole world listens to it, okay? So you see who I am, Joe. I don't hide behind alter egos on social media.
All right. Okay.
Well,
all right,
I'll tell you
then.
One thing. I'm on a show regularly every week that has 330,000 downloads every week, and so is Bianchi. 330,000. We are
delusions
regular contributors to the show.
Delusions of
now,
grandeur.
Now, if you can match that, get
delusions
back to
of
me.
Grandeur. Delusions of grandeur.
We started out talking about the militias here tonight. We started talking about the militias and then Trump and then the coordination of the Northwest there. What was that called there? The community they're setting up? Red Ant or something? I forgot the name of it, but they're setting up their own community over there in the northwest of Republicans because they're sick and tired of the division of the cities and the liberal takeover of the policies that's going on. You know, they're dangerous to cities, so I can't see their fault in that, you know. That's what we're coming to, I guess, in this country, aren't we? Coming to a 50-50 split, and, I mean, could that really be what's going to happen, you know, to save the peace, or are we going to head to a civil war, you know? I mean, I don't see it. I don't think we'll have a civil war because I think the military will come and shut it down so fast, you know, but people wanting to move away. And we're seeing mass exodus, you know, of people. People are moving from up north down here to North Carolina, you know. And first thing I tell them when they come down here, don't bring your liberal crap in here. Don't bring that crap around here. We don't want it, you know. I mean, we don't want it. Simple as that. I like this country. I like the way
it
is.
The problem with them, Joe, is they have a problem with cognitive dissonance. They seem to be unaware of the fact that the very policies and people they would tend to vote for are the very policies or the very people that created the policies they seek to flee. They just can't seem to bring the two together. They are completely cognitively dissonant.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Anybody else want to contribute? Press 1 to anything you want to add or say, or you got a thought to add to the podcast here. I'd appreciate it, you know, because right now this country is divided more than ever. I mean, and some people think it's funny. Some people think it's a joke. Some people don't think it's serious. Others just are happy, actually. They're happy to see the destruction of America.
Well, Gibson, look, like I said earlier, let it be. The marbles are going to fall where they fall.
Right.
And when you have people coming
on, coming
to you.
Do we really
want to
say that, Bianchi? Do we really want to let that happen? Do we want to see the division continue?
No way you can't stop it. You can't make people indulge with others that they have nothing in common and they don't want to. That's like this thing about when I hear folks saying we black and us black. That's just not true. It's what you call a hope and a prayer, a Hail Mary. And it don't work, never have worked, and won't work.
Yeah, I guess maybe you're right, Bianca.
I want to say something here because I'm gonna have to leave from here. I want to thank
you
and Sally. I want to thank you, Sally, and all the conservative talk show hosts who allow me in your domain to express my dissenting view on your show. You wouldn't believe the emails that I get. I get people, in fact, I get a lot of so-called black conservatives with podcasts who've been coming to me. They've been wanting me to go on these shows because what's happening is some of you guys are sending them at me. There was one guy who kept coming at me to go on his podcast. He don't have a Blog Talk podcast. He used to, but he got some other kind of podcast. When I Googled this guy, because some kind of way y'all got some kind of alert system going on. Y'all start calling people when my shows are on. Y'all start calling people to get somebody to call in my show. But when I Googled this guy was a convicted child rapist. He served 2 years in jail, and now he's back on the conservative thing. And that's why I see a lot of these guys are shady and got shaky past. But let me
who is this? Who is this convicted child molester?
I got to go look at my email because I got a bunch of people that's been. I forget his name, but he has a podcast on some other platform, and when I Googled his name. Yes, indeed. He used to have a Blog Talk or something. But let me say this. I have noticed for over 2 years there are a lot of – and then, oh, by the way, there's a new guy pops up, black guy, conservative. He got his picture with the Confederate flag in the background. Many of these guys are being paid, okay? And let me say this to all of these people that are listening. I'm Brother Warren. I'm the host of New Orleans Wake Up, one of the hottest shows on Blog Talk. And I want to say this, and I'm going to say a little bad word right now, so forgive me for all the ladies that's listening. But I got the big dick on Blog Talk.
Oh,
and all
boy.
These so-called
I
black conservatives.
I got to go. I'll talk to you later on.
Yeah,
black conservatives.
Yeah.
I don't think we don't need to hear that now. Come on now.
Well, I'm letting them know. I'm letting them know.
Thing, Joe. I'd like you to tell me
the one time I
ever suggested to you that you shouldn't let Warren on your show. Unlike him, I'd like you to tell me one time I ever suggested that he shouldn't be allowed on your show or anyone else's. Name.
Yeah.
When did it ever happen?
Let me finish my remarks, Joe.
All right.
All right. Well, I'm going to play this at the end here, so I want to play this, I think. I'm trying to see if I got at the old show here when I got to an argument, debate with this guy.
Okay.
I might not have, but I got to a debate with this guy. I think it was, sorry, you already heard this, I think, but I wanted to play that, but I don't think I got it up here. It's when I went back and went
to leave. Let me finish my remarks, and I got to go.
I know, but we don't want to, but you're not going to carry on about dicks and everything, right? Because I don't need that.
I
got women and children.
I told you, I gave you a warning, but see, when
these
other guys say stuff, but when these other guys carry on, you don't see nothing to them.
Wait, but who did they talk about? Larry Lightfoot?
You see?
He must
have been
Larry Lightfoot or something.
Let me say this. Anytime I'm on the show, Joe, you're free to call in. I'm going to, this week, I'm going to try to start broadcasting in the evening. If I broadcast twice, it want to be in a day, but definitely I'm going to try more in the evening, and you and the other real white guys could call in and express your concerns and your opinions, and I'll be glad to engage you respectfully and allow you to express your opinion. That includes Sally as well. But I wanted to be known, I am on the trail of conservatives, white conservatives, and black conservatives. Brother Warren is here to stay.
All right.
To call out the contradictions, hypocrisies, and lies and mythologies that are told. Thank you so much, Joe.
Okay, everyone heard it there for themselves.
I look forward to talking to you for calling on my show.
All right, then. All right, Sarge, unless you're close. Bianchi left, so he couldn't hear anymore. He didn't want to hear anymore. So. What's your thought?
You know, when I get into a measuring contest, I'll just be sure to get, you know, make me stay in the line. I mean, I've been inspired by Lori Lightfoot ever since she made that remark back in Chicago. But look, here's the thing. Again, I have no fear whatsoever of any ideas they espouse. They do not frighten me in the least. I am familiar with them because once upon a time I believed in most of them. So I'm very familiar with how they think, how they operate, and how they like to marginalize and polarize and exclude people who oppose their opinions. That's why I'm so well prepared every time they make their bogus arguments. I can refute every single one of their arguments, or since I'm intellectually honest, I will agree with them when they're correct. And I will take a note of it when they are correct, but for nefarious reasons, because they have to have a tendency to do that too. The key thing is speech, their speech and our speech, so people can contrast and compare the opposing viewpoints and make up their minds as to what is most valid. And until they fully accept that principle, you better beware of everything that they say.
I know. Listen, the bottom line is this. I'm running for public office here in North Carolina. I'm trying to make a change. You know, I understand. I'm not putting down what anybody else is doing on out there as far as activism or what they're trying to do to change the country or restore our republic. But I put my name's on the ballot, okay? I will be running, and, you know, and I want to weed out, I don't want to see Montana or Idaho just a state for Republicans. I want North Carolina. I want to see this group, I want to see the freedom movement spread across the country. The corruption has got to be cleaned up, and it's got to start, and we need more candidates that believe and work together like me. You know, I'm trying to get in touch with Mark Robinson. He's running for governor. We get him as governor. I'm a legislator. We get a couple other legislators. Restore the republic. Restore the Constitution. We can do this. We got an election coming up. We can do this. People need to email Mark Robinson. Hey, look, Joe Gibson, you need to get in touch with him. Hey, look, is it vice versa? Local sheriff when they run. We got to get people in office. They did it. The progressives did it. They've got their Ocasio-Cortezes and Omars in office. They were able to do it. Why can't we do it? Why can't we get more, why can't we get, we don't need just Donald Trump. Why can't we get more me in there? More you, Sarge, more other people. Why can't we do this?
Why can't we work together here? Even if I know you're down in Georgia, but with the internet, with instant technology, you know, with the cell phones now, the smartphones, I call them dumb phones. But, you know, why can't we email? Why can't email or drives? Why was this take so hard to put together, this grassroots movement that I'm trying to do? Why? I mean, I know everyone's clicked on now to the podcast thing where we're supporting each other's shows, and we got the hosts out there talking about the same things pretty much now, which is good. You know, we're talking about the republic, the issues that we face now with our country. The up to date news, the real news, the truth. We got that going on now. So why can't we get the candidate thing going? I just don't understand. Why can't we be supporting each other? You know, nobody's doing that right now. I can't see. But the Republican rhinos are. You know, the Democrats are. So, Sarge, why can't we get this going? I mean, you worked on a campaign trail with Keys there. I mean, what do we got to do? What's got to be done?
Well, it is difficult. I'm not going to deny that to you. The ground game is always probably the most difficult part of a campaign, and it involves recruiting soldiers to help get an army out there to press your point of view home at the grassroots level. That means, like, a personal level, knocking on doors.
Well, I got the Nation Builder website, you know. I got that Nation Builder website, Sarge.
The web helps a lot, but it's that personal touch that really seals the deal. That's what Donald Trump understands, because he makes...
Yeah, but we can blog, but blogging and the internet is very important right now. It's very, very important, you know, and it takes up a large portion of the vote also, you know. So blogging and the website connections are very, you know, supporting each other through the website is very, very important, you know. I mean, I put it out there, this Nation Builder thing. I just can't figure out how to get they're going to start charging me $200 a month pretty soon for this thing. And I can't even get my donation page set up, so I can't figure it out. I'm asking people, hey, can you help me out here? And I was scared. You know, like, oh, I don't know. I don't want to go on your website and do anything. I don't care. What are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do? You know, that's gonna mess me up. Nothing, man. We're supposed to be working together. Look, the founding fathers pledged their fortunes, their families, their friends. They put their lives on the line for what they believed in. Come on, man. You know, knock it off. Stop with this. And that's one of the problems with conservatives. It really is. Is that we're too anal retentive and pertussive to get this done. We gotta let our guard down. We gotta stop it. We gotta stop it.
Our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor, and they meant every word, because they would surely hang together or hang separately, as Benjamin Franklin said, and they knew it.
Yeah,
they were traitors to the crown.
Yeah. So we got. I don't know what just happened here. I think my internet connection just. Are we still on here? We still on, Sarge?
I hear you.
Yeah, all right, okay. I don't know. I thought my internet connection went on me. I was trying to post my link into the. Hang on here. I'm gonna post the link to my Nation Builder site inside the chat room, so everybody's got it in the chat room. They're only posted in the chat room. Copy and paste this link, Sarge, and start forwarding it to everybody you know. Then this is my Nation Builder site here.
I don't see the chat room.
I'm putting it in right now. Hang on. There we go. I'm going to put the link in right there. I'm trying to make that into my campaign website. I'm trying to copy and paste that, and I'm going to try to use that. Let me see if I got this up right here. I'm real quick before I wrap it up. But what's this all about? Pentagon confirms footage of UFOs. No, that's an old show I did. All right, what do you want me to play here at the end here, Sarge? What do you want?
Well, I think a lot of important issues got raised here tonight. Okay, I got your webpage. I got it bookmarked. Restoring our Republic, everyone should be saying, I am better off today than I was last election. Joseph A. Gibson, 3 North Carolina House, 2024. I bookmarked it, and so there I got it.
There you go. Good man. It's a start. I know. You see, I got to tinker with the page, though. I got to put, you know, it's not completely done. You know what I mean? I got to format, you know? So,
I see that.
I mean, yeah, so I just don't know. I'm not too good at that type of stuff, you know. I was trying to get Joe there maybe to work on it, but he didn't. He didn't feel comfortable with logging into my site. So I was like, yo, I don't
care,
man. I got somebody
that's pretty good at that. Maybe I could talk him in and maybe looking at your page. And,
even if I got to pay him, you know, for a little bit of money, you know. It'll take you nothing but 45 minutes. There's no web design involved. Everything's there. The tools are there on there. I'm just not savvy with that type of stuff.
Actually is web designer. They might be able to spruce this up a bit.
Yeah. That'd be nice, man. I'll give you my login code if you want. If you need it, just call me if you find, or if you want.
Just call
me sometime.
I'll be back in touch with you about it.
Yeah. And I'll give you the login code. So this way, you know, because I want you to and as a supporter anyway on there. So, but anyway, everybody in the chat room that was listening, looks like America Statesman was in there. That's good. I'm glad she was in there listening. That's good. Of course, we had one of my fans in there, I guess, Gavin Moorhead. We got Joey is a snitch, FBI informant. Thank you very much. Let's see, of course, Joe Gibson loves a loser like Trump, Jailbird Joe, thank you. Nice comments, good job there, Gavin Moore, Gorton Warhead there. It must have been time for me to go to bed. Grandma must have told me to go to bed, get off the internet.
Well, let's not forget, though, Jean Lafitte was a pirate, and he did pretty good by the War of 1812.
All right, here. But all right, how about some Ronald Reagan, man?
Saying, you know. Right.
Yeah. No. Well, I trust you. I value your opinion, Sergeant. Look, I don't know what happened between you and Warren over there on the other show, but, you know, I mean, I really prefer
if he was as civil as he was when I first started calling into his show, because he actually was. I think we actually had meaningful discussions, even though we didn't agree on anything, but that rapidly vanished when I refused to agree with him. It just vanished.
Yeah.
And it actually started out quite... He even engaged me with my responses.
I don't know. That's,
I mean, that is something he almost never does. You know what I mean? I'll say something, he'll just completely go, ignore it, and run off into a tangent. Rather than directly responding to it.
Yep. Well, maybe how about this then? We need some Sons of Liberty then. Or wait a minute. Yeah, or the Green Berets. Sons of Liberty then. We'll do the old one here. All right, everybody. God bless the Republic. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. BlogTalkRadio.com/Joseph Gibson.
Get it on.
Plant the seed in our home, my boys, let it grow where all can see. Feed it with our devotion, boys, call it the Liberty Tree. It's the tall old tree and the strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons of liberty. Save it from the storm, boys, water down its roots with tea. And the sun will always shine on the old Liberty Tree. It's the tall old tree and the strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons, we're sons of liberty. March the lung of the Piper, boys, we were born forever free. Let's obey the Piper, boys, beneath the Liberty Tree. It's the tall old tree and the strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons of liberty. Say the Piper asking, boys, always say the tyrant free. Never give up the struggle, boys, fight for the Liberty Tree. It's the tall old tree and the strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons of liberty. Stand for the rights of man, boys, stand against the tyranny. Hang the lamp of freedom, boys, high on the Liberty Tree. It's the tall old tree and the strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons of liberty. It will grow as we grow, boys, it will be the strong of we. We will sing like they, boys, taking the Liberty Tree. It's the tall old tree and the strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons of liberty.
Bless our republic. Take care.